Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are continuing our series on tithing versus giving. What do the scriptures really say? Today we're going to be finishing up our review of the scriptures, what we've talked about previously, what the scriptures have to say in each age, and we're going to really start getting into the meat of what do we do now. And you may find this touches on a lot of your attitudes and preconceptions about money, about resources, about what you value and what you're supposed to be doing with your life. We've been, for so long, given others the authority to tell us what is valuable in our lives. And the first part of learning to rule and reign is to rule and in God's kingdom is to rule and reign in your own. So we each must decide what's important for us, what's valuable for us and to us, and then value it, and not let others demean or devalue it. In other words, rule and reign over our own kingdom. Now, we don't do this out of our own strength, and this is where it gets so difficult in learning the distinction between flesh control and self-control, which is by the Spirit. Self-control by the flesh is controlling our lives through our self, our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, through the strength of our mind, through the strength of our will, or through the strength of our emotions, controlling our circumstances, our decisions, and others, and even God. Self-control by the Spirit is controlling ourself, not being controlled by ourself, but controlling it. In other words, making decisions, ruling and reigning and acting and being despite our mind, will, and emotions, because our mind, will, and emotions have been subjected and submitted to our spirit. What that points us to, though, is that many of the activities and behaviors that are tied in or associated with someone who is in control of their lives is very often considered a negative in the Christian world. In other words, someone who is not outwardly a giver or outwardly a compassionate person or outwardly active in the church. In other words, if you're in ministry, you have to be in the church. It has to be called a ministry. And that's one of the distinctions we have to be separate from is, of course, this is for you to evaluate for yourself, because really what other people consider ministry is none of your business. But for you, are you doing things or behaving or believing or acting or making decisions based on your own preconception and sometimes misconception of what God wants you to do? And as we talk about what we do with our money moving forward from here, this is one of those aspects, one of those areas where we see that the resources we have are part of our opportunity here on this earth to learn to rule and reign in that area. How we work, how we, our talents, our skills, our gifts are given to us, are your resources for you to learn how to rule and reign over them, with them, and using them. So we appropriate our resources. And in the midst of receiving these things from God, at the same time, we are making good use out of them. We are valuing them by putting them into effect. By saying, okay, this is a tool God has put in my tool belt. What does it do? What does it build? What am I doing with this? What can I do with this? And as we move forward, we see that one of the problems very often in the church that's associated with the church is that whatever gifts God has given to you, you should give to others. Now, as you know, our definition of grace here is to freely receive, unconditionally receive from God what he unconditionally gives and just say thanks. And that our definition of ministry is to unconditionally give what we have unconditionally received and just say you're welcome. At first glance, those things, those approaches may be contradictory. The distinction is the direction that it's coming from. In other words, what God has shown me, it's my choice to give it or not. It's not your right to demand it of me. Okay, so whatever ministry you're involved in, it's between you and God, how it is shared, how it is given, if or when it is given. No one has the right to demand it from you, that you should be giving. You should be doing this for free. You should be sharing of your gifts and your talents and your skills for free. Or, you know, whatever demand may be put on this. So from our perspective, we are valuing what God has given us. And very often what a big problem in the church is we are valuing what costs us nothing and not valuing what costs somebody else a great deal. And we individually alter that by valuing and putting in the work, doing the work for the change that God wants to do in each one of us. I've run into, over the years, over the decades now, I've run into so many people that I knew long time ago that had wonderful, great prophetic words over them about what they'd be doing with their lives. And so many of them are so disappointed because they're not doing it. And it's not, and they've rejected the prophetic. They've rejected Christianity. They've rejected the branch of Christianity that spawned whatever evil person gave them this word and deluded them into thinking they were going to be doing something great for God. And yet when you ask them, well, what did you do to make this come to pass? They don't have an answer. We want something for free. We think that if it's a gift, it's a complete thing. We don't have to do anything with it. Let's use a little analogy here. If you believe you have a gift in an area, instead of thinking of it as a completed item, think of it instead as a model airplane, or a puzzle, or a ready-to-assemble piece of furniture. It's there, you have it. But it has to be assembled. It has to be worked on. It has to be valued by you enough to put the time and the energy and the effort into it before it can possibly be valued by anyone else. And so you go ahead and you put that model airplane together. And you show it to your friends, and they say, oh, that's really cool, and they take it from you, or they expect you to give it to them. Your response is going to be, no, but I can show you where to get your own. This is mine. I finished this myself, but I can show you where to get your own. People don't want to work for what God wants to give. And I know that sounds so contradictory, but there's a qualification that comes from being connected to the spirit, your spirit, where the receiving is not through your soul, but through your spirit. Remember, in your spirit, you've already received everything. If you're not receiving it in your soul, in your mind, will, and emotions, it's because there's a hindrance there. And you have to work to remove that hindrance. This is going to be very individualized. What is it that's keeping you? And right now, with all the financial struggles people are going through, and we know finances put a great burden on marriages and on relationships and on health. And we saw the terrible incident where the fellow was angry at the IRS, burned his house down with his wife and child inside, I believe. Fortunately, they made it out, but then flew a plane into a building, killed himself, and, oh, this is really going to make things even, right? And people are like, how bad must it have been for him? No. There's no one to blame but himself. He never grew up. He never worked on self-control, on discipline, on patience. You can tell by the message he left behind. All he was busy doing was blaming everyone else for the situation he found himself in. And that's always a great indicator as to how you're doing. Are you blaming someone else for the situation you find yourself? Somebody didn't do something. Your parents are usually, our parents are always the first place we go to. They didn't teach us what we needed to know. And you're probably right, they didn't. They probably did a lousy job. Even Jesus didn't have perfect parents. But guess what? We do have a perfect role model, a perfect guidance counselor. You've got all the resources right now to counsel you and coach you if you are a Christian. For your particular situation, you know all the answers. Knowing them and walking them out are two different things. So we see that the stress level is raising in all these areas, and stress brings out our best and our worst. And one of the things we can do is take the time to go, okay, though, what are the negatives that are coming out, and what are the positives that are coming out during this time? And using it as an opportunity to adjust. Lord, what is going on here? Is this something you're bringing my attention to? Is there a hindrance there, or do I need to change my beliefs? Or is there a wound there? And very often, it's all three. We can make the most out of it. Otherwise, very often, God just has to craft something else for us to go through. Because these hindrances only go away internally. Just because you get out of the circumstance doesn't mean the hindrance is going to go away. You're still going to have to deal with it. So when we think about the stresses that are coming up in relationships, very often all we want to do is restore the relationship and not deal with the underlying stresses, the underlying misbeliefs. So if that's the case, take the time now to let God really point out your misconceptions. Again, it's not the other person's fault. Are you taking responsibility for your life, for ruling and reigning in your life? Or are you waiting for somebody else to decide or to direct or to even give you from God what you need to move on? For so long and so often, people think, if I just heard from God about this, then I'd have the strength to be able to persevere and be patient through whatever it is he's doing. And yet God is right there with you, and he's saying, why don't you just ask me? So just ask him, Lord, am I missing anything? And we won't take the time to go through all the steps here. We've done it in other programs. But ask him and then test it. Lord, is that you? And then be specific about where you go from here. You are your own kingdom. We don't just die and go to heaven and then automatically know how to rule and reign. We've got such drastic misconceptions about what heaven is anyway. That's for another program. But you need to take responsibility and authority over your situation. Not blaming anyone, not blaming the past, the present, or the future. But see it as an opportunity. Make the most out of it. Don't put off till you die what God wants to bring freedom to and healing to now while you're alive. You don't get any brownie points for putting these things off, for just persevering by faith with patience. Unless he tells you to, there's activity to be done on each of these issues. Very often, nobody else is going to see it. It's not going to be clear to others, but it will be to you. And you'll have that confidence of knowing that you are hearing him, you are hearing from him, and that you are learning what is truly valuable. You're being changed and aligned, spirit, soul, and body. And those are the things that are truly going to be of value moving forward in the kingdom. Nothing of value is free. That's what we don't value, what costs us nothing. And this is part of the problem is with my friends who have received these prophetic words from God, some of them very specific, and some of them very obvious and true. And yet because they just took it, well, if God says it, it'll come to pass. It cost them nothing to receive that word. And so they don't value it, and they don't find out what they should be doing with it. Likewise, if it takes us a great effort to deal with something in our lives, think about marriages, getting married. How much effort? The effort really goes into the wedding, doesn't it? Very little effort goes into preparing for a good marriage. So when you get into it, you're unprepared and you don't know how to handle decision making or communication or building a life together, because you thought, well, since you were marrying the right person, God was obligated to take care of all these other issues. And then when problems come, and even when you become separated or even divorced, you think, well, God's going to get us back together again because his name is on this. We were married in the church, and God sanctified this, and God brought us together. So God is obligated, because we did this all in his name, to bring us back together again. But then the other person goes and remarries. And you go, well, God, why did you let me down? And I'm not sure why we're off on this tangent, but we have to realize, if we don't ask God from the very beginning and then work and act on what he's told us, we are not valuing what he says. Because even people who should be good matches, a good match for one another, if work is not done and put into that relationship, it is certainly not God's obligation to keep you guys together. You didn't value your own marriage enough to work at it before you got married, let alone during it, or even after. How much do you value it? When you have children, you value them. You pour your life into them. When you have a career you love, or a hobby, or friends, or school, whatever, that you value, that's costing you something, you make sure you're getting your money's worth out of it, or the investment of your time. Odds are you're not going to make room in your life for someone who you hate. We value what costs us something. And when we expect God to do something just because we say he should, or we think he should, or even because we think the Bible says he should, we aren't doing the work. And we can't expect God to do something when we haven't even asked him, and then when we haven't done the work. So moving forward, we'll try to get through the, at least start the next section here. So we've been talking about tithing and giving. And the whole underlying thought we've got going is to be able to hear from God for ourselves. It takes work. And we want to benefit from what other people have learned. but we don't want to do the work. I was used to work for a very well-known writer, and he'd joke about how people would come up after ministry time, and people would want him to lay his hands on them and impart his gift of writing to them. And he just thought that was so funny, as we all did, that he had worked years and decades to become a good writer and to work to get himself published and work to sell his books and worked hard to make something of himself in that field. And others wanted it instantly. And isn't that what we ask for when we talk about tithing? We don't want to have to learn how to be responsible with our money. Just, God, tell me how much I should give. What am I supposed to do with my money? Just tell me that and we'll be good. No, you're not getting out of it that easy. Tithing is easy. 10%. But that's not for you. God does want you to value your money. And he wants you to learn to rule and reign over it, with it, and by using it. Your money is a reflection of your work. Now, you can always choose to just give it away. But don't let anyone say you should give it. You should do this with it. It's your choice. If it's a reflection of the work you have done. So, to finish off our summary of the different ages, talking about the summary of the tithing under grace. What we are concluding is that, especially from what Paul teaches about giving, is voluntary, and that there is no set percentage. Okay, and again, you can always go online and download the article that we've been following along. It's free. It's available for your use. This is something God said to put out there for free. So you are benefiting from this, but it's from God. It wasn't my choice. It's my choice to do what he says. I don't feel obligated at all to put this out for free. So, nowhere in the New Testament are believers told to tithe by anyone, or even how much to give, when, or to whom. We're only encouraged to provide for those who are in need, those who minister, and for the stranger. Giving in the New Testament is a reflection of the believer's new nature. And the nature of God is to give. So even if we don't feel like it, we are now giving liberal people. But we need to learn how to do this. This doesn't mean that when your minister passes the bucket, you put something in it. Or there's a building program going on, you have to give. No, it's your responsibility to learn how to give according to his purpose and plan in your life. So often, if you keep on giving the way you want to or the way others tell you, when something comes along that God wants you to give to, you won't have anything because you've not been a good steward. And those are some of the things we'll talk about as we move forward now, as we go into the practical application of how to learn how to give and how to be good stewards of your finances. So we'll be picking this up next Saturday. Again, you can always get in touch with me at diane@wecanprepare.org, and I'll get back with you as soon as I can. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great weekend. This has been Prepare Radio. You can visit us at wecanprepare.org. Have a great weekend.